Brian Lehrer on WNYC Now, why Republicans oppose disclosure of who's making campaign donations, and the battle over food stamp cuts in the new farm bill that could affect many people in our area. With me now is Niels Lesniewski. He's an editor at CQ, or Congressional Quarterly Senate Watch. Niels, welcome to WNYC.
It's good to be with you this morning.
Let's start with disclose, since it's in the news this morning. Disclose isn't just a word. It's an acronym. It stands for Democracy is Strengthened by Casting Light on Spending in Elections. Wow, that was a bill. So what do the proponents of the bill believe is important in it?
The proponents of the bill say that their measure would require disclosure of campaign spending contributions over $10,000 to these sort of outside groups that we've come to know as super PACs following the Citizens United Supreme Court decision a couple of years ago. They say that it would make it more transparent for people to know who is funding some of these organizations because they often have names that sound like they are, you know, Americans for Freedom or something like that, that sounds completely innocuous, and yet they may be funded by business interests or groups with a certain agenda, and they're trying to promote transparency in that field.
If that had been passed, what would have actually changed about spending during elections?
Likely what you would have actually seen was maybe not so much a change in the amount of money that gets spent, but it becomes more difficult, perhaps, to attach your name to one of these groups. So suppose that you're a pharmaceutical manufacturer, for instance, that has a particular lobbying interest, and you have one of these groups that you're affiliated with that you've been giving money to promote candidates that will promote your agenda. With this disclosed, what would happen is you would essentially have everyone knowing that you were the person bankrolling the TV ads.
So here's the two sides of the argument in a nutshell on the Senate floor. We're going to hear Democrat Barbara Mikulski and the Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell.
What's wrong about saying who you are when you're giving more than $10,000 a year? The American public has a right to know.
The purpose of this legislation is totally clear. After Citizens United, Democrats realized they couldn't shut up their critics. So they decided to go after the microphone instead by trying to scare off the funders.
So we heard Maryland Democratic Senator Barbara Mikulski, the Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, Republican from Kentucky. Niels, Republicans are historically proponents of transparency. For years, it seems, when they were fighting the McCain-Feingold campaign finance law, which is what got overturned, in effect, in Citizens United, they said the true position is everybody should be able to donate as much as they want to any political campaign, just disclose who's doing it. That used to be the Republican position, didn't it?
That largely was the position of most Republicans during the debate over the McCain-Feingold law. What seems to be the point now, and the point that they continue to object to, in one of the points they continue to object to with the Disclose Act, which Democrats say is not exactly accurate, but the Republicans say that the way it's drafted, it would effectively benefit labor unions because they rely more on small dollar contributors. You know, if you're a member of a union, you're probably not giving more than $10,000 in a year, where some of these business interests, we know partly because he tells us, the Las Vegas casino mogul Sheldon Adelson has been giving tens of millions of dollars to Republican candidates this cycle.
So wait a minute. If I'm a bus driver and I give $50 to a candidate, and I'm Sheldon Adelson and I give $50 million to a candidate, and the law requires us both to put our names on our donations. The Republican objection is this is considered discrimination against the rich.
Well, the distinction, I think, is that the bus driver in your analogy would not be giving more than $10,000 in a year. And so the cap you have to cross over, the threshold you have to cross over before you have to disclose is $10,000.
Ah, you don't have to disclose under that bill until you contribute or spend more than $10,000. Well, what if they reduced it? Did the Democrats consider that so that it does literally cover everybody?
I have heard some Democrats talk about reducing the cost of the measure. There becomes a point, however, where you run into the threshold where you could be having people, forcing people to effectively disclose membership in organizations. So, you know, that the threshold gets low enough that you're talking about annual membership fees or dues associated with certain groups. And the Supreme Court did rule, and Senator McConnell has pointed this out sometimes to the ire of Democrats, that the Supreme Court did once rule, for instance, that the NAACP could not be compelled to disclose its donor rolls for obvious reasons in the South several decades ago.
So, in other words, if you're a member of a labor union, to continue the union analogy, and you pay dues to that union, but you don't make any individual campaign contributions, your name could still be listed as a contributor because your union chooses to make contributions?
That appears to be the way that the Republicans, at least, are interpreting this. It's not entirely clear how it would actually work out in practice, but that seems to be the interpretation.
What are they really afraid of? So what if a pharmaceutical company's name is on a campaign ad instead of Americans for Health or some phony name like that? Do they really think that that would dissuade people from voting for the candidate?
The question, I think, may be that whether or not it's a chilling effect towards the free speech of the corporation, which a lot of people don't like, but the Supreme Court seems to have established that principle that corporations have First Amendment rights.
If corporations are embarrassed by their speech or think their speech is going to be politically disadvantageous to them because they're identified with it, then it somehow violates their First Amendment right to speech because they don't want to say something that's going to be unpopular.
They don't want to say something unpopular with their name attached.
Exactly.
To it.
Okay, so I think we have clarity on that now. Niels Lesniewski, editor at CQ, or Congressional Quarterly Senate Watch. I want to go on to the other big thing taking place in Congress right now, the farm bill. First of all, why should New Yorkers care about a farm bill?
Well, New Yorkers should particularly be caring about the farm bill because a lot of the funding is the mandatory funding for SNAP, which is the Supplemental Nutrition Program that a lot of us still know by its former name, which is the food stamp program. And those nutrition benefits are funded through the Farm Bill, and they would be funded at a substantially lower level either way, whether or not the House or Senate bill were to win enactment. Your Senator Kirsten Gillibrand is a member of the Agriculture Committee, and she attempted to increase the amount of funding available for the food stamp program, but was unsuccessful in doing so when the bill was in the Senate.
And in fact, people probably don't realize that 80%, and correct me if I'm wrong, 80% of the $100 billion per year that is spent on the Farm Bill goes to the SNAP program or food stamps, correct?
Yeah, that's about the way the number has been. It would fluctuate a little bit in the new bill, but essentially you're talking about the vast majority of the bill funding things like SNAP programs. Also, school lunches are authorized through the Farm Bill.
So the Republicans in the House want to make substantial cuts to the SNAP or food stamp program. Is that why Gillibrand is so opposed to the bill as it exists?
Yes, she would be particularly, she was in many ways opposed to the Senate bill, which made somewhat narrower cuts than the bill that the House Republicans have floated, with Democratic supporters, I should say, in the House. They're partly because the Agriculture Committee tends to attract members that are largely from farm states. There are very few, if any, members who are from New York or its suburbs, or Los Angeles and its suburbs, that actually opt to serve on the Agriculture Committee to help write the Farm Bill because of all the other sort of interests that urban lawmakers have to deal with.
Although that's funny in a way, considering that 80% of the Farm Bill expenditures go to food stamps, and there are so many food stamp recipients in cities.
Yeah, that is the grand irony of the whole bill. 5 years ago, just as a brief story, when they were putting the final bill together, Congressman Rangel was one of the members of the conference committee because he was running the Ways and Means Committee at the time. And he had to have a lot of assistance in working through the 20% of the bill that he didn't understand necessarily, but really needed to be there for obviously his constituents on food stamps and school lunch programs and the like.
Why do Republicans want to cut food stamps in an ongoing down economy?
There's a couple of schools of thought. Sort of the more conservative position is that it amounts to a, you hear some say that it amounts to a welfare sort of situation. More pronounced, they're just trying to find any money that they can seem to trim from anywhere within the federal budget as part of this sort of austerity campaign that is underway with the federal budget deficit ballooning.
But they want to give tax cuts to the rich and food stamp cuts to the poor. The tax cuts to the rich also deplete the federal budget.
That has, if you talk to the Republicans, will argue that over time you would recoup, you would be more likely to recoup that money through increased economic development, although those numbers did not bear out over the past decade for sure.
By the way, I read in an article that a farm bill has never been passed during a presidential election year, as long as there have been presidential elections and farm bills. Why are they so politically charged historically?
Well, the farm bill generates such different interests in different parts of the country, and in some ways the reason why they can't move in a presidential election year may just be because they're really complicated bills. They're more than 1,000 pages all the time. So it's complicated work to get done during an election year, and you also get questions that are raised, particularly when you're talking about a presidential campaign, about provisions that impact particular parts of the country. So, for instance,
ethanol in Iowa?
Ethanol in Iowa, sugar subsidies has been a big issue this year, and depending on where you are, that sort of determines what you're interested in. And if you're running a national campaign, it's tough to pick sides on a lot of these issues.
Well, now we know more about Farm Bill politics and Disclose Act politics. We thank Niels Lesniewski, editor at CQ Senate Watch, for filling us in. We really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.